look at that text, Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. You've already heard most of it. Thank you, Brother Wes, Christina, and Dale as well. Wonderful truth. Luke 2 and verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." I want, if you can, for a moment this morning, imagine with me that you're Joseph and Mary. And I want you to think about the many events that have taken place in your life over the last few days. We really could go back over the events of your life over the last 9 months or so. I mean, it's pretty bizarre that an angel comes and says, by the way, Mary, you're going to be with child. It's going to be God planted within your womb. And another angel comes to Joseph and says, I know what you're hearing about Mary, but it's not true. She actually is pure. She's carrying God with her. And I want you to go ahead and marry her. And then all the talk that surrounded that very idea. And now they end up in a foreign city, if you will, Bethlehem. They have a baby in a cattle stall. They've gone through the whole process of the law. They named and circumcised him on the eighth day, just as Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 3 tells them. Mary was coming to present herself now after 33 days. In Leviticus, it lays out for her how long she was supposed to be unclean. And she was to continue that way for 33 days and touch no hallowed thing and will come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification will be fulfilled. So it's been 41 days, since his birth. So you come into the temple. And upon entering the temple, a complete stranger takes your baby out of your arms and starts talking. That's been pretty bizarre, wouldn't it? Matter of fact, I know some of you mothers. He probably wouldn't have got a chance to talk, right? Because some of your moms, you can tell, like, you know, don't touch my baby. And you don't have permission to touch. Don't touch its head. Don't touch my baby. I mean, you could see the look. You can get close, and they start looking like, I hope you're not planning to touch my baby. Like, I'm really not going to touch your baby. It's okay. All right? It's all right. He takes the baby out of her arms. I mean, just put yourself there for a minute. And then he makes a proclamation about this child. And Mary and Joseph are marveling at these things. You got to understand, they're still processing all of this stuff. We don't know for sure, but many scholars believe Mary was a teenager. And you can imagine all that's going through her mind and as she's trying to process all this stuff. And part of the things that he says to her is, by the way, Mary, you're going to be pierced through as well. Wow. We see both old and new here. Do you notice the number of old people that are mentioned in the story? Nana, we're not talking about this morning, but she's probably 100 plus. Simeon is an older person, and there's multiple people there, but there's new here too. There's the baby Jesus. There's the old covenant and the new covenant right here. I love what one author says. This is a fundamental truth that will affect the way we read our Bibles. When Jesus comes, comes a new era. But the old, when properly understood, is not against the new, but is in harmony with it. She's fulfilling the law. Jesus has come to fulfill the law, but he's come also to establish a new covenant with us. Amazing. Dr. Josh Matthews says, Luke portrays Simeon as an exemplary in the way that he read and reflected upon the Old Testament. This devout and righteous man was waiting in Jerusalem, longingly, expectantly for Scripture's fulfillment. And that day, the Holy Spirit said, you need to go to the temple. There's the couple. That's him. He picks up the child and says, I can die now. God's word has been fulfilled. Amazing. I want us to see simply from the life of Simeon this truth. You must take God at his word. Isn't that a wonderful position to be in? Just take God at his word. So let's look at a couple of things about this man, Simeon, that I think will help us this morning. First off, we see that he was pure. The Bible says, in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The word just means righteous. It's the idea of being in a courtroom. He is declared righteous. We could say that this was about his attitude, his internal attitude, if you will. But he also was devout, the Bible says, meaning he acted well. This would deal with those actions about or an external attitude in the process. Dr. Strand gives us a little bit different view. He says, whereas the word just expresses Simeon's attitude toward God, the word devout expresses his attitude toward men. I'm sorry, Simeon's attitude just is towards men and devout is towards God. Either way of looking at it, Simeon was exemplary in every way. He was a godly man that walked with God, that was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit gives us in the Word. Imagine just a brief synopsis. Matter of fact, we know nothing about Simeon up to this point, and we know nothing of him after this point. It's just boom, right here. But the Holy Spirit preserved us for it. What would others say of you? If someone was penning words about you, what would they say of you? Devout? Would they say that you were righteous? That you were just? Would they say you knew how to wait? He was pure. But number two, he believed the promises. Verse 25 and 26, it says to us here that he had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And we have no idea when that was revealed to him. We don't know if it was revealed to him as a young man. We don't know if it was revealed to him last week or the week before that or whatever, but either way, God said, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see Messiah. That'd be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? When we start putting the pieces together, we realize that Israel had not heard from God in almost 400 years until the events surrounding the birth of Jesus began to take place. Now, Elizabeth had heard from an angel, and Mary had heard from an angel, and I'm sure these things were noised abroad. As we look this morning at the shepherds, if the shepherds had been talking about Jesus' birth, the Messiah's birth, and they manifested around, perhaps Simeon heard that. Oh, when was he born? Is this really him? And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go. Today, you're going to see him. He believed the promises of God. Can I give you some truths about promises that we see from other places of Scripture? And this is not an exhaustive thing, but number one, believing in promises sometimes requires waiting. We don't know how long Simeon waited, but he waited. We don't know how long we have to wait for some of God's promises, but it requires waiting. Jesus said he was coming again. That promise is at least 2,000 years worth of waiting so far. And we have no idea how long. By the way, in the book of Genesis, he said that he was coming the first time. And that too was thousands of years of waiting. Sometimes, believing in promises requires us to just wait. Psalms 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many of you love to wait? It's like, what are you talking about, you know? Most of us, we just don't like to wait, do we? It's like, we want it now. I mean, like, right now, let's get this done. When lunch comes, it's like, when's lunch? Well, I got to cook it. How long is it going to take you to cook it? Well, rice takes 20 minutes. Okay, well, let's get it going. You know, it's like, we just don't like to wait, do we? We sit at a red light, and it's like, you know, I'm always cracked these people. I'm cracked up at these people that sit there, and I'm like, you're just wasting gas. It's not going to change the red light any, right? You're just in a hurry to go. But we don't like to wait. But number two, believing in promises takes Holy Spirit prompting. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and He prompts our heart. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show the things to come." As one author had already mentioned, Simeon must have been saturated in the Old Testament and was ready for Messiah to come. And the Holy Spirit said, "I'm going to take those truths, and I'm going to give you a promise that you'll see." The third thing that we see about believing in promises is that believing in promises causes us to surrender to God's plan. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts," that word, Hebrew word there is device or plan or purposes, "that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It's surrendered to God's plan. See, there was good and bad about the promise to Simeon, wasn't there? You're going to see the Lord's Christ. And then after that, you're going to die. And he says in the text of Scripture, he said, "Lord, I can die now. You fulfilled your word. And I'm surrendered to the plan of God." You know, we don't have anything else recorded in Simeon, as I said. We don't really know how old he is. We assume that he was an older man. We don't know that he got to see Jesus in his earthly ministry. We don't know that he got to see his crucifixion on the cross or his resurrection or the New Testament church established. Yet he knew he could believe God, and he surrendered to God's plan in his life. You know, others looked for God's promises. In Mark 15 and verse 43, it says, "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly into Pilate and craved the body of Jesus." Matthew 13 and verse 17, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Luke 1 verse 67 through 70, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." This is John the Baptist's dad preaching about what Jesus would do, and he had read the holy prophets and knew it was going to take place. Jesus said, "Can I tell you? There's a lot of people long to see the day that you're getting to see." You ever thought about the fact that God has you at your time perfectly? Sometimes we think, you know, that we would like to go back in time, or we would do it. And some of us were talking before the service, boy, it'd been great to go back and see these priestly shepherds and to walk with Jesus and to watch that whole thing unfold. And it would be really cool. I'm hoping there's a DVD or something in heaven, right, for some of these stories. I'd love to see that. And you hear older people say, "Oh, I don't know, back in the good old days, you know, it was this way and this way, you know. We used to have so much more time, and we had this, and we had that, and diseases." And I mean, it's like, we could say all kinds of things, but the truth is, for everyone in this room, God has you right now, and he has a purpose for you right now. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, really, what God wants us to do right now? As far as we know, this was Simeon's ministry. Now, he may have done other things not recorded in the Scripture, but we're talking about, it doesn't take us 30 seconds, 45 seconds to read the entire amount of what Scripture has recorded about this man, but it's what God wanted for him. Are you believing in the promises of God? And are you resting in those promises? Not only was he pure, not only did he believe the promises of God, but number three, he was passionate. And he was passionate because of the Holy Spirit. It says in the last part of verse 25, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Verse 28, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. He was passionate, but that passionate desire was Holy Spirit fueled. Now, it's very interesting as we look at this character, we see a couple of things about this passion. One, his passion was sensitive, meaning he listened. Did you see what the text said? He came by what? By the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God said, hey, it's time to go to the temple. He came to the temple. He would have missed it. One day, he would have missed it. He was sensitive. It was the Holy Spirit that prompted him to come. It was the Holy Spirit that said, today's the day that this is going to take place. But not only was he sensitive, but he was bold. It takes a lot of boldness to walk up to a newborn mother and take the baby out of her arms and to start talking about it. He took the child from her parents, from his parents. Now, this is really important. Sensitivity and boldness are not opposites when they're fueled by the Spirit of God. So many times we think that boldness and brashness go together, and they do when you're not filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, many times people who are bold are also brash, but they're not Spirit-filled. But when we're Spirit-filled, we can be both sensitive to God and we can be bold for Him at the same time. What a great combination. Boy, I long to be that way. In what are you passionate? All of us are passionate about something. Do you have any passion at all? What do you really care about? And how's it impacting your life today? The fourth thing we see is that he was a preacher. He then picks up this child and he begins to preach. He makes a public declaration about this. He says, Lord, verse 29, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word, just what you've said to me. I've seen your salvation. Lord, you prepared him before the face of the people. And then he makes some incredible statements. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Whoa, wait a minute. A light to lighten the Gentiles? That would have not been a popular statement right then in the temple. Gentiles were dogs, second-class people, not worthy of anything. But he's not the first one. Zacharias had said something about the Gentiles, and by the way, the Old Testament predicted as well. They didn't know the scope of all of that. It took Peter a little while to grab it too, didn't it? His message, first off, was supernatural. It came from God. But his message was also about salvation. It was the hope of Israel, and it was the hope of the world. This word lightning is an interesting word. It means a disclosure of truth. In other words, it makes truth visible. He said he's going to make truth visible. He was going to be the very personification of truth. When Pilate said to him, what is truth? Here our Lord was truth standing before him. By the way, this message of the Gentiles, the disciples even had a hard time grasping that. And yet this man Simeon understood it. Is he your hope this morning? Is he your hope this morning? I love the book of Romans, chapter 15. One of the verses there says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This season is about hope. As I said Wednesday night, hope is only good when you recognize the bad news. The bad news is you and I are sinners. That's why Jesus had to come. The good news is that he came to pay for that sin. But if you don't recognize the fact that you're a bad news person, that you really need his help, then he can't rescue you. But if you will this morning, that's the whole reason he came, to expose truth to others. Is he your message? Do you have a message from God? Have you preached that message this week in the gospel? Lastly, he was a prophet. He predicted some things in verses 34 and 35. And those things were dead on. He said, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." And then he turns to Mary and makes those unbelievable words, "Yet a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." Can you imagine, if you will, for a moment, some 33 years later, and Mary standing at the foot of the cross, watching her son be crucified for the sins of the world? The truth is, there's nothing like a mother's love, is there? I mean, I love my kids dearly, and I would do just about anything for them. But it's interesting to watch a mama love her kids, right? I mean, my grocery bill this week is proof of that. There's just one small proof of that, right? And I finally looked at her and said, do we really need all of that? I mean, I know we got this many people coming, but, you know, well, I just thought it'd kind of be nice for them. And some of you men are smiling. You're trying to be careful how you smile, not to look too right at the lady, right, sitting next to you. I can't imagine what Mary went through. But Simeon said, "Mary, you're going to deal with that. It's going to pierce through you. That sword that will pierce through Jesus, it'll be just like it's piercing through you." He understood that not all the world would accept Jesus. One person said, "Jesus' coming will bring deliverance, but also division and anguish. Both redemption and judgment are bound up in his advent." It's all together. He understood that this wasn't necessarily a glorious advent with no complications. It wasn't the advent that most Jews thought it was. It wasn't. It would take them a while to figure that out. What has Jesus' advent, his coming, brought to you? Has it brought pain and difficulty? Rejection, sorrow, relief, victory, heaven? Maybe all of the above. But in every one of these things, all these truths allow us to take comfort. God fulfills his promises. As we said this morning, right to the very detail. Maybe God wants to use you for just a short period of time. Maybe God wants to use you for a seemingly insignificant event. I mean, who would have thought that this little event recorded for us in Scripture would have been that big of a deal? The fact is, if we did not have it in Scripture, would we really feel like we had lost something? Yet the Holy Spirit said, "I want it recorded. This is important." Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? It's interesting. This morning, as I was spending some time with the Lord and thinking about my messages, we got a prayer letter from Craig Hartman, which is pretty unusual. I don't get most emails on a Sunday morning like this. But I opened the prayer letter and began to read, and it was all about Simeon. I thought, well, how neat is that? Can I read to you his closing paragraph on the life of Simeon? He said, we should be looking for Jesus just as Simeon did, with the same level of excitement, knowing that today could be the day he returns just as he came as a baby. Though we may not physically hold him as Simeon did, we will someday behold him. May we be like Simeon. Lift high the Messiah, praising God for the wonderful salvation he provided in Jesus as we celebrate his birth. As I've said, we don't see Simeon before or after this event. But our God chose to preserve his story in the Word of God. How precious. Do you believe God's Word? Is he your light? Is he your hope this morning? Do you celebrate Christmas as a secular event, or has it changed you? Has the birth of Jesus Christ changed your eternal destiny? That's the most important question you can answer as we go into Christmas. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we know that you are the hope of the world. You're the hope of the Jews. You're the hope of the Gentiles. There's not a man or woman alive, there's not a boy or girl alive that cannot hear and accept your precious word. Thank you that you died for the sins of the whole world. How wonderful that is. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, would you help them this morning to surrender to the hope that's in you? And Lord, for the rest of us who know you as Savior, would you help us just to believe your word? When things seem like it's not going as fast as we want it to, or whatever the case may be, may we surrender to waiting on the promises of God. And we'll thank you for that. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is he your hope this Christmas? Oh, how we would love to take the Word of God and show you the hope that we find in the gospel. And you'd say, Pastor, the truth is, I don't know Christ as my Savior, but I'd sure love for you to pray for me about that. I'd love to do that. Anyone here this morning would say, Pastor, I don't have Jesus Christ as my hope. Would you pray for me this morning? Christian, are you resting in the promises of God? Do you believe his word, no matter what it looks like around you? I hope that's your case this morning. As the pianists begin to quietly play, would you quietly stand to your feet? And they're going to begin to play. And if God's working in your heart, maybe you've not trusted in the promises of God. Maybe you've allowed that hope to fade because God hadn't acted like you thought he should act. Would you give in to him this morning? Just a few moments, we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. Would you examine yourself? See whether or not you should take of this supper today? If you'd come on and prepare for the communion.